it to God and he prays to God to bless the house. God sends fire from heaven and he kindles the burnt offering. And only God could do that because the burnt offering was where people got forgiveness of their sins. Now listen to me very carefully. Are you listening? If God doesn't do something from heaven, it doesn't get done. We can't manufacture salvation. I don't care how much we preach and how well our words may come, and I don't care what we do, how much we play with people's emotions, we still can't bring about salvation. It must be born from above. The Spirit of God's got to come down and born them again. So therefore, everything that we do in the house of God is a mute unless God's presence is there. This morning, I want to share with you this thought. Things that we look for in the house of God and why the house of God is so important. I'll be honest with you. We all take for granted this house. Now, what God has done is, when Solomon built the temple, his Spirit come and filled, and glory filled the whole house. Now God comes and his Spirit fills our temple, our body. Our body is made the temple of God. And his Spirit fills our temple, but yet God has still ordained that we have a house that we meet in, that we gather, that we don't forsake the assembling ourselves together. And this morning I want to share with you some things that we find that are important in the house of God. And if we want his presence to dwell here, we must exercise these things that brings God's presence to the house. Look, if you would, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Begin reading, if you would, in verse number 12 with me. The Bible says, speaking of Solomon, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands. Now picture Solomon. He built an altar, and he's standing there before all Israel with his hands spread. And he says, for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood, and he kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven. Now picture him as he built this big old table and this altar, and he's on his knees and his hands, and he spread up toward heaven, and he was praying, fixing to ask God to do something for this house he just built. Verse number 14, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like unto thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept that with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and speakest with thy mouth, and hath fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and a heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer of thy servant prayeth before thee. Now, first of all, let me say this. Even though we, having God with us out wherever we may go, he lives inside of us, he dwells inside of us, we are to come together to the house of God. The house of God is very important because it is a place where we ought to have prayer. We ought to be able to come and pray. If we want God to come in this place, we have to have legitimate prayer in this place. Prayer honors God. Did you know that the Bible says there's nothing that we need that God does not already know and is aware of? Why pray? Why ask God for something that he already knows you need? Why should we come together and pray? Because when we pray, we put ourselves in a position where we recognize that only God can help us in what we're asking to do. And therefore, we glorify God in our prayers. Jesus said that they had turned God's house into a den of thieves, and his house was supposed to be a house of what? Prayer. If we're going to have God to dwell here, it must be a place where we come together and pray. We must be willing to pray. How many times I look at some of you and I remember times when you were upon this altar. Some of you praying for salvation. Some of you praying for other things going on in your life. How many times I felt the presence of God come upon us. Because his house, when it's turned into a house of prayer, it brings the Spirit of God down in our midst. Not only that, but also if you look on in verse number 20, the Bible says, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken to the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and thy people of Israel, which thou hast made toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even the heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. In other words, it'll be a place where we can come and we can let God know, and we can bring our burdens and our cares, and we can lay them down before God. The Bible says the churches be a place where we come, we bear our burdens, and we also bear one another's burdens. When we come and different ones are going through things, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen someone come and they've got something going on in their life. They come and they lay down at the altar and begin to weep, and others begin to come out of the pews and lay over on them, begin to pray and offer up prayers on their behalf. This is a place where we bring our cares, recognizing that God cares for us. We let them know, we pray. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just come to church because I just feel obligated to, and we come, we sit down, and we stay for an hour or two, and then we leave. That's not what God wants in his house. If his presence is going to be felt, we must be willing to pray. We must be willing to bring our burdens and our cares. You know why? Peter said, because he careth for us. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, he already knows. Yes, but he wants us to ask. How many of you ever got honor from your children when they come to you and ask for something that they couldn't get on themselves, and they come to you and ask, and you remember the feeling it makes you feel? How pleasing it is to know that they came to you. How pleasing it is to know that you're able to give them something they can't give themselves. You know what joy that brings? That's how our Heavenly Father is. When we come before him and we pray, it pleases him that we are asking him for something that we can't do for ourselves. And we come to him. We don't run out here to everything else in the world and try to fix our problems. We bring it to him. And we lay our prayers and petitions before God and our supplications. Look on, if you would, in verse number 22. In verse 22, the Bible says, if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before the altar of this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing the way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to righteousness. In other words, when we have conflicts, when we have conflicts between ourselves, did you know it's hard to fight and be mad at somebody when you're praying for somebody? Did you know that? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to talk to God about your problem than talk to everybody else about the problem? What happens is we run around, we won't talk to everybody else. God wants us to come and talk to him. When we have a matter, if Martin and I have a matter, this is a house where we ought to be able to settle that matter. We ought to be able to come together and get. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you come and you bring a gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, go and make that thing right. Leave your gift there and go make it right and come back. You know why this house is a place where we get through our differences? Somebody said, how do you have a congregation and you don't fuss and fight all the time? Because it's a house where we find forgiveness. And we ask God to settle our differences. And we learn to love one another. And we learn to get along with one another. And it's a place where we come. You say, well, so-and-so did something or said something about me. Well, it happens. So you come here and you get it right. Amen. I can't stand a church where people are mad at each other. I can't stand a place where there's divisions and schisms all the time. Can't stand it. Not only that, look in verse 24. He also says, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy because they have sinned against thee and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear from heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest them and to their fathers. In other words, he says, listen, whenever we are fighting wars and we have casualties of those wars, and Israel, of course, when they would sin and they'd go out at war, even a little small army could defeat them sometimes like Ai because of their sin. But what would happen is if they come, they confess their sin before God, he would make it right and forgive them, and they go on and win victories. This ought to be a house is when we have been defeated by the enemy out there. And by the way, can I tell you this? A lot of times when we get sin in our life, we let the enemy defeat us, right? This is a place where we come and we confess that before God that we've been defeated. Oh, we could have won. We should have won. We should have never went astray. We never should have turned our back. We never should have become a casualty. But we have. And sometimes we come in here and God speaks to us and deals with our heart and he brings us to the altar and he allows us to get back into fellowship with God. And when we've been defeated by that old enemy. And can I tell you that we have all kinds of enemies out there? The Bible says we have spiritual enemies in high places. We don't all have Satan and his angels against us. The world system is against us and our own flesh is against us. Not only that, look on in verse 26. He says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yea, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin and thou dost afflict them, and then shall I hear from heaven, forgive of the sins of thy servants and of the people of Israel. And when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk and send rain upon the land, and when thou hast given unto the people for an inheritance, if there be death, dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blastings, or mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all the people of Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house. In other words, he says, let's read one more verse. He says, then hear from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. In other words, he says, it's a place whenever we have things coming in our life and we have issues coming up in our life that we can come and we can pray and we can find forgiveness of. And we can, when we have issues that's going on and struggles and storms and all these issues, he says, when it's not raining and we need rain, and when this is we have a all these pestilence that comes across us, or we have illnesses and so forth, this is a house that we can come. And we ought to be able to pray and get on our faces before God and ask his help in that. And when we do, it brings the presence of God down. Look on, if you would. He goes on and he says this in verse number 32. He says, moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great namesake and thy mighty hand that stretch out the arm. If they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, and as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. In other words, I want you to understand, this house is not only for the people of God. Listen, this house is for strangers that's not the people of God to come into. They are to come in here, and we ought to love them. We ought to pray for them. We ought to seek God's work for them. And when they come, if God comes and he draws them and they come and they call upon God, this is a place where they can find salvation for their soul. How many of you that's here right now have been saved in this church right here? Let's see your hands. Think about that, how that God has moved. And God's brought you, even though you were not part of the family of God, you came and you found a house that you could come into and get into the presence of God. And then when you come as a stranger and call upon God, he answered your prayer to save your soul. This house is to be a house for strangers. Now, it doesn't mean that people that's not members of the church just come and dictate what this church does or what it doesn't do. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking that this church, this house, is to be open to strangers to come and find God in their life as well. Amen. Not only that, but look on, if you would. Verse 34, he goes on, he says this: if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou hast shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven their prayer, their supplication, and maintain their cause. In other words, when we're out there and we're fighting the enemy, and we're going out there and we're trying to carry on the work of God, and we're fighting the enemies and we're fighting the battles that we have to fight, when we come in here and we ask for God's help, God wants to hear and answer our prayer. And Solomon said, when we're warring against the enemies, we need you to hear our prayers. And it brings the presence of God down. And can I say this? No man is able to fight the enemies we fight by your own strength. Somebody say, well, I'm mad at this one over here, and I'm fighting with this person over here, and I'm fighting with this thing over here. But the truth of the matter is, what you're fighting is much bigger than you ever imagined. The Bible says that we don't war against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're fighting against something evil, there's spiritual wickedness behind it. And it takes something bigger than you to fight it. And Solomon said, Lord, when we're fighting our enemies, let us be able to come in this house and pray, and you hear our prayers. Look on, if you would. He also said in verse 36, he said, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, And thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a far land. And he goes on, he says, if they would return, in verse number 38, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of captivity. In other words, when we get away from God, now listen to me, this house is a place. The Bible says it's a place where we come when we have sinned. And by the way, he throws in that little clause, there's none that sinneth not. And when we have sinned, it ought to be a house where we want the Lord's presence to be. It ought to be a place where we can come and we can get right with God. And we can come, confess, and say, Lord, I've gotten away from you. How many times have you been in church service and God has spoke to your heart and you've gotten out of fellowship with God and you've gotten away from God? Maybe there's something in your life that you've done and God has pulled you and drawn you. And you come and you found fellowship back with the Lord. Isn't it good to have a place that you can come to do that? But you can only do it when God's presence dwells here. Look on, if you would. It is a place that we find for worshiping God. Look, if you would, in verse 40. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into the resting place, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thy anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. In other words, it's to be a place where we come and we worship God for his goodness. Think about how good God's been. Think about the battles that he's got you through, the salvation he's brought to you. Think about how good God's been, and what have you not got something to praise God about and worship God for his goodness? Just think the salvation of our soul, how much we owe God. And so therefore he says, listen, this is be a house when we come together, we have praises for God. We come together to worship God, and we lift him up because he's been so good to us. I was thinking that song Stuart was singing there, that last one. I love that one because you think about this. The Lord has all these people, and as unworthy as I am, when I need him, I'm as if I'm the only lamb there is. And he comes right here. But I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to find it out there. That's why it's good to be able to have a house to come into and feel the presence of his spirit. Two more verses real quick and I'll close. Look, if you would, in chapter 7 real quickly. It says, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled that Lord's house. Now notice, first of all, it's going to be a place of power. We're going to see God move. There's times in this church I have seen the visible manifestation of God. Not a person in the church that night or day questioned that God was in the midst. I've seen God's miraculous power. Solomon saw the power, and all of Israel saw fire come from heaven and night the burnt offering. How many times have we seen salvation come to somebody's soul? And we've been able to look and see the manifestation of that salvation in that person's life. How God changed that life. It's like a miracle. God took this person over here, and he came in, and all of a sudden he changed that person. Oh, what a wonderful thing that we have with God. And last but not least, notice verse 3, and I'll close right here. He says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We are to praise him for his wonders that he has done. We are to praise him and worship him because of his goodness. And the Bible says that they bowed themselves down when they saw the wonders that God did. And they began to praise him with their voices. Listen to me. We get away from this. We get away from giving God praise. Did you know it brings the Spirit of God in when we open our voices and tell how good God's been to us? Well, how God's blessed us and things he's done in our life, and we give all glory to God.
Amen.
That's what this house is all about. If we want the Spirit of God in this house, we have to come here with those things in mind and understand this thing's bigger than us. It's bigger than just going out there and living a life by yourself and on your own strength. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do. Do what? Did you get that? One more time. Do we need him? We need him. Amen. Thank God we have his house.
that we can come in all these things that we face, when His presence is here, we can have these things and available to us from heaven on high, man. Let's stand this morning if you would.